Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
Do you wake up feeling like your best days have passed you by? Omega-3s are essential to the health of your body and cells. Scientists say an imbalance in the omega-3-6 ratio is a major cause of many illnesses. You need testing to know how healthy your cells are. Without testing, you're only guessing. Test yourself at home and start feeling better today. Find out how by calling Rick Kroll at 305-933-4219. Welcome to the Home Business Success Show. Join us as we speak to home business entrepreneurs for tips, tricks, do's, and even don'ts for running a successful home business. Welcome, everyone. This is Hank Eder, also known as Hank the PR Guy, host of the Home Business Success Show, and you're listening to bizradio.us, all entrepreneurs all the time. My guest today literally wrote the book on home-based business. We'll meet him right after my 2 cent marketing minute. Are you consistently mistaking yourself for the hero in your marketing message? It's time to cease and desist. You are not the hero. You are the guide. Lead your customer on their journey to defeat their main pain point. They need to be shown how. That's where you come in. Read Donald Miller's Building a Story Brand to really understand how this can totally transform your message. That being said, my guest today, James Chan, is a successful entrepreneur, speaker, and pioneer on the workplace frontier, who runs his own home-based business, Asia Marketing and Management. Living the life of a spare room tycoon for decades, he has helped more than 100 companies, including Nationwide Insurance, Lucent Technologies, and the cross-cultural division of Berlitz, develop and manage their business in China and elsewhere in the Pacific Rim. James is a contributing columnist to China Technology Market News, and his work has appeared in publications such as Publishers Weekly, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Export Today. James Chan is a dynamic speaker and trainer and has developed and taught courses throughout the United States on business skills for the China market for the American Management Association. He lives and works in Philadelphia. His book, Spare Room Tycoon, is a roadmap for people in all levels of home business. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, Hank. It's good to be here.
Well, if you would, please tell us about what you do.
I have been helping American companies export, marketing, export 100% American-made products to China and other countries in Asia and places like Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Southeast Asia. And I started my business in 1983. So this is my 40th anniversary of helping American companies export. The key word here is export. I don't do any importing. I do not do any offshoring. I don't do any supply chain. So it's a very important niche market that I want people to understand.
Yeah, I think that this niche, because of the notion of the cultural differences that Americans would have with doing business on the Chinese market and the way that people do business in the different countries, I think it lends a lot to your niche, doesn't it, as far as consulting with these companies that want to learn how to break into the China market and the Pacific Rim. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. The key word here is culture, even though there are other factors, you know, reasoning, logic, you know, product, you know, superiority. They are all important, but I think the cultural part is the part that misses a lot of people. It's very difficult to really teach in an academic manner how to negotiate with people in China and elsewhere So I think that the cultural part is the part that I bring in the most value.
Okay,
it's thanks. Very difficult to teach.
Yeah, I imagine it is. Well, in the 40 years that you've been running this business, has it always been a home-based business? And what inspired you to start it as a home-based business, if that's what it's always been?
Well, I actually never thought of going into business on myself, for myself on my own. I work for a Fortune 500 company in New York City, and I succeeded in helping the company market and export very high-level scientific, technical, medical, engineering, and legal books and journals, monographs, in English, of course, to China and various Asian countries. And because I saw the checks coming in, so I kind of said to myself, this is not a pipe dream. I actually have done it. And so the moment came when the chairman of the Fortune 500 company decided to fire 75% of the employees in New York and move the 25% of staff to Orlando, Florida, even though I was included in the 25%, I decided, no, I'm going to set up my own business. I'm going to do what I wanted to do. So that's really how I got started. I saw success and I wanted to do it on my own.
Right. And then when you started doing that, you started it as a home-based business, right? You started it without brick and mortar.
No, you are absolutely correct. One day, as I was taking the double R train, I lived in Queens, Astoria, Queens, in New York, to go to Manhattan to work. I was reading the New York Times, and there was an article on consulting as a viable way of making a living. That article spoke to me in a crowded subway train. So when I got back to work, I simply walked across the street. There was a bookstore, and I bought a book on how to be an independent, successful consultant. I read the book, and then I decided that I'm going to resign my job without having another job, and then started. And that was May 1983. The rest is just history.
That's awesome. So I suppose that you went into it possibly already having some contacts that you could work with, correct? In the China market particularly.
Oh, yeah. Within a two-year period, I doubled the sales of my company's products I tripled sales to Southeast Asia, and I opened the China market, and the initial order was some $200,000-$300,000 prepaid. There was no danger of getting stiff.
You know, it seems to me.
That gave me confidence.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me that it's not just the Chinese market or the Asian market, but when people do business overseas in other countries, there really has to be that notion of it. You have to make sure that you've set it up in an airtight way, because the opportunity for getting stiffed is big when you're halfway across the world. So, yeah, you have to take precautions for that. And I suppose the best way to do that is to get payment up front.
All the time. And there are skills to that.
I guess there are. It requires quite a level of trust on the part of the customer, too, to send you that amount of money. So that's a skill in negotiating, I'm sure.
Yes, I've got it.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that you chose your niche, trade with China, out of your love and reverence for your early life in Hong Kong. Would you please tell us a little bit about this?
I grew up in a store run by my mother. It's what people call in America a dry goods store. We sold everything except food, like women's underwear, toy cars, toilet paper, Pepsodent toothpaste, towels, fake jewelry, Samsonite, luggage, everything, Pond's cold cream, baby Johnson & Johnson, baby food. And I grew up in the store, and I started selling even when I was a child running around. We started the store at 9 o'clock in the morning. We closed the store at 10 o'clock at night, and there was only one day of holiday. And the point I want to make is I grew up in my store with my mother learning how to sell. So even those subsequent years of education in Hong Kong, graduate school in America, which gave me much needed education, it was the sales skills that I picked up. I was not afraid of people. I was certainly not afraid of the Chinese people. I certainly learned how to read their desire. And I felt very comfortable. I think my store, my mother's store, gave me my temperament to be a good salesperson. And my formal education gave me the ability to think, to talk, to present myself, and to charm.
Well, you know, it's those early experiences that really shape who we are. And I think it was very fortunate for you that you had such a beautiful example of your mother and her store to set you on that path and to give you both the ability and the freedom to even to learn these things and to participate in that particular business. And I think if more of us all over the world, but speaking here to Americans, if more Americans would be exposed to business at an early age, I think we would have a lot more entrepreneurs, both home business entrepreneurs and brick and mortar entrepreneurs. Well, you know, I came from the generation, and probably you did too, where we were taught study hard, get a degree, and find a good job. And, you know, so we'd go out, we'd get our degrees, we'd study, then we'd go out into the job market and we'd look for a good job. And, you know, many years ago, it was possible to pick up a job with a company where your loyalty was rewarded with longevity, retirement packages, you know, retirement accounts, all of those kind of things. But as the world kept changing, people jump around a whole lot more. But the point I'm really trying to make is that now the younger generations have a different idea. It's, you know, for those who do go for the education, study hard, get an education, and start your own business, not go work for, you know, 25, 30, 40 years for somebody else.
I don't see any major distinction, Hank. I don't see that the traditional values of what we grew up learning and most people obeying any different from the so-called younger people wanting to be on their own, to do their own things. Because even when I grew up in a Chinese society, which is a very conformist society, you just conform, you fit in, you listen, you obey. But I've always wanted to do my own thing. I grew up knowing deep in my heart that Westerners and the Chinese are never going to ever see eye to eye. They will always be disagreeing, having fights and all kinds of arguments. And I saw that that was a niche, that I was somehow able to balance the two and keep them talking. So the thing is, I have always found myself more happy, more at peace, coming up with ideas, executing them. And then I get very excited, and my clients understand my passion. They understand, they see my glee, they see my joy, and I don't hide anything. I think that that, in a way, is the winning part of being a solopreneur, a one-man company, one-woman company. So I hope what I'm saying is, Hank, I think it is very important for anybody who wants to be his or her own boss, you just have to feel happy with yourself.
Yeah, you have to feel happy with yourself. And I've heard it said, and we've discussed this, on the show before, you have to know your why. Why do you wake up every day? What makes you excited about what you do? And if you've got your authenticity, which you were talking about, being yourself, and your why, and your Well, you know, your joy, what more do you need to be successful?
I don't worry about being happy because I've always been, Hank, always, always, always. Don't make me repeat myself, please.
Okay.
Always.
Well, you just repeated yourself always. So, and I don't think I made you.
So. 10 more times.
There you go. There you go. You know, your book, I really love the name Spare Room Tycoon. And that book came out, if I'm not mistaken, that book came out sometime in the 90s, did it not?
The year 2000. Oh, it's been 23 years.
Yeah, it's still a pioneering work of, because yeah. At that point, a lot of people weren't thinking that much about working from home. But what was your inspiration for writing Spare Room Tycoon?
Two things. A client with whom I worked for 24 years, so it's a long, ongoing client, was trying to nickel and dime me when it comes to my billing method. And I was complaining to my partner, who happened to be an achieved and accomplished writer, professional writer. And he said, James, don't complain. These things, you know, even one of your best clients was trying to nickel and dime you. It's quite normal. How about writing a book? You've been doing this for 18 years now. You know enough to write a book. I can help you. I have an agent in New York, and he's very reliable. We can find you the right publisher. That's how I got started. It was kind of serendipitous. Much of very good things that happened in my life are really a result of serendipity.
Yeah. Well, that makes me think of a philosophy that comes from out there somewhere in the East, but I'm thinking in this term more of India than of the Pacific Rim. But this notion that if a person finds their dharma, they spell that dharma, dharma, they're doing just what they're supposed to be doing, and they're in the right place at the right time. And serendipity seems to find them because they're putting themselves in the place that the universe can reach out and provide them with opportunities. Does that sound familiar, but maybe phrased possibly a little bit differently?
Dharma is also karma. Karma is also yuan, Y-U-A-N, not the Chinese dollar. Y-U-A-N means a kind of preordained, predestination. So yeah, it's common. It's a very basic trait of successful businesses. And I've always been delighted in doing my own thing. And the fact that that I'm a home-based business doesn't make me feel I am not professional enough. But there's one thing. I'm going to jump the gun a little bit. That I have one very fundamental, important, can overemphasize key skill or premise. The moment you become a home-based business, don't stay at home. Get out. Get out of your home. Meet people. Learn interpersonal skills. Learn to find clients. Learn to get along with people. Learn to see people. You can't just stay home, which gives you isolation and a lot of erroneous perceptions because you are alone. Let me shut up.
Yeah, and I think that was very insightful, though. And today's, you know, in today's world, we've got all the technology. And like right now, you and I are talking to each other on Zoom, but it doesn't take the place of real one-on-one communication. And certainly social media and email don't take the place of real one-on-one communication. Yeah, so I think that to me, the core of what you just said is that if you don't develop those skills and get those people skills and get business closing skills and get sales skills and do all those things, then you're sitting at home maybe with an expensive hobby instead of having a business. Yeah. Now, your book basically...
Business, I want to interrupt you for a split second. There's no such thing as business, but there is such thing as people doing business with one another. If you take away the people, there's no business.
That makes such...
Animals don't do business with one another. Animals don't. They eat one another.
Right. And sometimes they play with one another, depending on what kind of animals.
Humans,
they
too.
Are.
Yeah, humans, too.
Yeah, well, the other animals, too. I mean, I've seen dogs playing very happily with each other, but yeah, but that's not really, you know.
That's another story, yes.
That's another story. Now, your book is a roadmap for people on all levels of the journey of home business. And if you could tell anybody anything about what do you think are some of the most important traits for home business entrepreneurs to have, what would that be?
I actually used the first chapter of the book, Spare Room Tycoon, to come up with an acronym, five letters, S-P-A-R-E, SPARE, using the title Spare Room Tycoon. SPARE is an acronym that focuses on five concepts, namely, S for self-knowledge, you have to know who you are, what you can do. P for passion, you've got to have fire in the belly. A for taking action, you have to sell yourself. S-P-A-R for realization, you have to, in the course of doing your work, you realize all the mistakes you make and some of the successes that you have accomplished, you realize you get better as you go on. Like anything else, you get better, you realize. And finally, in order to sustain your business and to prosper, you have to learn how to evolve. You can't always do the same thing. You have to have iterations, like an engineering project. You have iterations of the drawing. You improve over it. So S-P-A-R-E, SPARE, five insights, five principles, which I think in one of the few upcoming sessions, I'll talk about it on your show.
I think that it sounds to me like all home business entrepreneurs and all entrepreneurs should really learn about those five things. Now, believe it or not, I mean, this time flew by. We basically have run out of time. So I'd like to ask you to tell our listeners the best way to contact you.
It's, if you Google my name, James Chan and Philadelphia, just three words, James Chan, Philadelphia, you have my address, you have my telephone number, you have my email. I am extremely easy to find. You know why? I'm still running a business. So I'm not hiding anything. I'm not hiding my address. I'm not hiding my telephone number. I am not hiding my email address. James Chan, Philadelphia. You'll find me. Oh, one more thing. I have an hour-long YouTube video on Consulting 101, which I think is the same as running a home business 101.
Very, very good. Well, thank you for being here with us today. And for our listeners, tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. for the Home Business Success Show here on bizradio.us. Remember, you can achieve success, freedom, and independence in your own home business. I've done it. James has done it. And you can do it too. See you again next week. This is Hank Eater wishing all of you a fabulous day of home business success.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.